Okay, here we go. We are now on the Gemara, Makis Yud Aleph Amid Beis. And the Gemara has frozen. the discussion was, the Mishnah start off with the case that if they rendered the fellow guilty, that he has to go to exile. And right after the judgment was rendered, the Kohen Gadol dies.
Yeah.
Then Mishnah said he does not have to go to the city of refuge, which the question obviously is, but isn't part of the atonement going to the city of refuge? Shouldn't he be going to the city of refuge anyway? And maybe the reverse. Now he won't be able to leave the city of refuge. But yet the Mishnah says that he doesn't go to the city of refuge. So Gemara asks, "My timer, what's the reason? What's the reason that he doesn't go to Golis?" Amar Abaye makes a very interesting kal v'chomer that we could ask a lot of questions on. The Gemara won't, but we can. Amar Abaye answers, kal v'chomer. It's an a fortiori argument. Uma mi shegola kfar yotza achshav. Let's say someone has gone to the city of exile properly, and then the Kohen Gadol dies. He leaves now, right when the Kohen Gadol dies, he leaves, right? Now, he's saying like this. If the guy's in exile and the Kohen Gadol dies, he leaves. So now, here's the difficult kal v'chomer now. Mi shelo gola, so someone who has not yet gone into exile, ain't odin shelo yigle, should he certainly not have to go into exile? Now, Gemara's going to ask a question right away. Tosfos asks a question on this kal v'chomer. This same kal v'chomer also could be used to teach that if the Kohen Gadol dies before the killer's sentence is finalized, the killer is exempt from exile, even though his sentence is finalized without there being a Kohen Gadol. And we said no. Consider, if one who is already in exile goes out, then his fellow who has not yet gone out should certainly go out, meaning not be exiled. Yet the Mishnah rules that not only is this person exiled, he must remain there forever. Tosfos dismissed the question. For it's obvious that until one has become liable to exile, the death of Kohen Gadol cannot absolve him of exile. Therefore, that we can't say the color. Since liability comes only with finalization of one's sentence, death that precedes finalization cannot absolve him. So that's out. But let's go back to this kal v'chomer. We're saying if the guy goes into exile and the death of the Kohen Gadol lets him go back, so if the guy has not gone into exile, he shouldn't need to go into exile. That's what the kal v'chomer is saying. But the Gemara says, wait a minute. V'dilma, perhaps, hai de gola, the fact that he goes into exile at least a little bit when he went, in a normal case, ich parlay, he's achieved atonement through going to exile. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he's going to exile, no?
Yeah.
To get some atonement. So, where's your kal v'chomer? You don't say, well, if he went into exile, and then the Kohen Gadol dies, he comes back. But if he didn't go into exile, certainly... Wait a minute, he didn't get any atonement yet. Right? So that's the question. So Gemara gives a very interesting answer. Hi, delo golo lo, this one who has not yet exiled. Oh, that's part of the question. I'm sorry, I said the whole question too fast. And hi, delo golo, but this one who has not yet gone into exile, lo, has not achieved atonement. Okay, so why should he go out? All right, that's the end of the question. Yeah. So the guy who went to exile got atonement, so he comes back. But this guy, he didn't get atonement yet. Gemara answers, counters that. Says, midi golas kamachapri, is it exile that atones? Misas koinu de machaperis. It's the death of the Kohen Gadol that's machaper. That's the end of the Gemara. That's a very unusual answer. And if I would ask you, what gives the guy atonement, you'd say the fact he's suffering in exile. No? Now, in fact, no. Gemara says, no. It's the Kohen Gadol's death that atones for him. There should be a big footnote here. If not, I got to... Not so big. We'll have to go into here. This is not to say that exile does not atone for the killing. For, of course, it does. Indeed, that's its purpose. And we already had that earlier. However, exile alone does not so completely cleanse him of his sin that he'll be free of exile and vengeance of the Goel Hadam. It does a certain degree of atonement, but not the full thing. This level of cleansing can be accomplished only with the death of the Kohen Gadol. The proof of this is that whether one is in exile many years, or whether he's there a single day, he goes free with the death of the Kohen Gadol.
Right.
So obviously the Kohen Gadol's death is a very important thing. Clearly, the atonement that frees the killer is the Kohen Gadol's death, not the time spent in exile. Okay? The atonement of Forbet Kohen Gadol fits into the teaching that the death of the tzaddik can bring you kapara. So a certain degree of kapara. So I don't think... our scroll, I'm sure, is limited by what it can offer because it doesn't have so much space to write so long.
If the murderer dies in the city of refuge before the Kohen Gadol does, that means he didn't achieve full...
Yeah. That's right.
Well...
That's right. Okay. Wow. I've got to just find the place over here now. 1 second. Where am I? I'm on the mission. I've got to get to the Gemara. Okay, 1 second. I'm looking at the commentary here. Okay. So... 1 second. So Tosus explains like this. He said, the Gemara doesn't mean to say that Golus isn't Machaper. A little bit like Arishkov. He's going to say more. But it means to say that to be excused from the Golus, to be finished with the Golus, you need the death of the Kohen Gadol and not going to Golus alone. In other words, going to Golus alone is not enough. Right, as he says, sometimes you go for one day, sometimes for a long time. So the atonement also depends on the death of the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, if it doesn't make a difference, in other words, a guy has one day and the Kohen Gadol dies, Hashem said, that's enough. 10 years and Kohen Gadol dies, well, that was enough. That's how much you need. So it's like a combination. It's a combination of going into exile and the death of the Kohen Gadol. Like, finish this, the kapara. Right? How long you have to stay in exile? Well, that depends on the nature of the person's God. God knows how much he needs. But to finish it off, you always have to have the death of the Kohen Gadol. Now, he adds, so therefore, if you need a bit of atonement, so what does it matter if he actually goes into the exile or not? Right. Meaning to say like this, I'm going to add a little bit. Let's figure, you're the guy who killed unintentionally. Okay, now you're kind of nervous. You kind of thought, well, I don't know if it was inadvertent. I thought it was more like an accident, right? Now you're praying to God that they're going to rule it was an accident and you don't go into exile, right? Isn't that what you're praying to God for?
Right.
Okay, now, what happens when you hear the verdict? You're going into exile. How do you feel at that moment? At that moment, you realize right now you have to say goodbye to your wife, or not goodbye, goodbye to your friends, move away. At that moment, are you not suffering?
Yeah.
So therefore, and you're not expecting Kohen Gadol to die. It's not like they're telling you he's dying in 5 minutes. So it's not going to be a big deal. You think that for the rest of the Kohen Gadol's life, you're going to be away. At that point, are you not suffering?
Yeah, of course.
Because we'll just add a little chassidus to this. As the Baal Shem Tov says, wherever your thoughts are, that's where you are. That's not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
So now, at that point, his thoughts are, I'm going into exile. That's why so many times we have anxiety over what's going to happen in the future.
Right.
It hasn't happened yet. Right? The doctor says you're going to have to go through a surgery. And you're suffering the whole time. And then, you get through it. 3 weeks later, you recover. Everything's good. But till it, you're going nuts. Right? So if where your mind is, that's where you are. It's a reality. And clearly that guy, as soon as they say they're going to exile, they may have to start giving him medications.
Yeah.
But they haven't gone yet.
Yeah.
But so that's already has begun the suffering. No question about it. And now if the Kohen Gadol dies, that kind of finishes it off. So that's an interesting idea over there. Now, the Oraklin there adds something amazing. He says, still needs a little more explanation, because if the Golus itself brings some kapara, so even if it depends on the death of the Kohen Gadol, so how does it say it's a Kal V'Chomer? What's this Kal V'Chomer? It's still a Kal V'Chomer, doesn't make sense. I can explain to you why that's so. You can get happy with it. But how do you say it's a Kal V'Chomer? If the guy got a lot of kapara, by staying there for 5 years, and then he leaves the Kohen Gadol. The guy who got a little kapara, all the more so should go back? So even though we explain the overall logic of why it makes sense, but the Kal Vachomer doesn't make sense. If you would have told me, if you would have said the opposite, if the guy didn't yet go into exile, and the Kohen Gadol dies, the law is he doesn't have to go, then I would assume that if he's in exile for 5 years, Kal Vachomer he should leave.
Yeah.
That was a Kal Vachomer. But now we've said an inverse Kal Vachomer. So that Oracle there still has this problem, because there's not a lot of kapara of Golas. So he explains like this. He says there's two kinds of kapara. It's a very interesting idea. There's a kapara of the death of the Kohen Gadol, but then there's another kapara. You know, you got to wait till the Kohen Gadol dies. So you did a certain sin. You killed the guy. Okay. So what do you really need? The Kohen Gadol's death brings you kapara. But what about until the Kohen Gadol dies? Don't you have this thing hanging over your head?
Yeah.
Yes, this thing is, I mean, you were certainly negligent.
Yes, yes.
Now, what do you think should happen to you? You're going to go scot-free, you killed somebody, and it was a little bit your fault.
Right.
So what should happen, just like any other aver? We know, what happens when you transgress, what happens if you transgress a law? If you transgress an essay, you just need tshuva and you're okay. Transgress a law, you need tshuva and Yom Kippur. What do you transgress a law that has kares with it? You have to have tshuva, Yom Kippur, and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So now, let's say, when you kill somebody, I agree, the Kohen Gadol's death will give you full atonement. But you know what? What are you talking about, full atonement? This when you kill somebody, you're going to need suffering plus the Kohen Gadol's mm-hmm. death to get atonement. You see, you need suffering and the death of the Kohen Gadol. Because, yeah, just Kohen Gadol dies? No, suffer. Suffer. Live in the city of refuge. You'll suffer. Hashem will decide how much you're going to suffer, and then you go to the city of refuge. So there, that's, first of all, this really now gives you a better insight as to how it's working. Certain averos, certainly killing somebody, although it's inadvertent, it's a bad thing. I mean, it shouldn't have happened that you killed this guy. If you were more careful, again, it's not a total accident. Total accident, Hashem doesn't believe. But you had a certain degree of culpability here. Okay, we're not going to kill you. You didn't intend to do it, but it's still a terrible crime. So you want atonement? It's going to need a number of things. You're going to have to do tshuva, for sure. You got to do tshuva because you weren't careful. And I go suffer. And then, just like, so to speak, Yom Kippur gives you a final, right? So the Kohen Gadol's death will give you that final thing to get through. So now you got the suffering, right? So the Golus will now protect you from the suffering you should have gotten otherwise. Remember, normally, the normal rule is you do certain sins, God inflicts suffering to you, and then comes, and then you're cleansed, right? You need Yom Kippur and suffering and this. So really should happen. The guy should be physically suffering. And now you have that. So therefore, going to exile protects you from the suffering. Why? It's really just a milder form of suffering.
Right.
At the end of the day, you want to be physically ill for 17 years till the Kohen Gadol dies, you know? Or would you like to be imposed upon for 17 years? Remember, it's not that bad. You're in a city. You're not in the desert. You're not in an immigration camp. Okay. You're not in Baltimore. Okay, all right. You're in a place. Here's the point. Let me try to explain to you. A guy who's like a secular Jew. Yeah, a secular Jew. What would he think of spending a Shabbos in Mea Sharm? He'd think that he'd rather die. You ask a secular Jew, doesn't know any better. He'd rather die. But Lamaisa, what if he has to live there? What if he'd have to? He you know, it's not bad. Bad. You know, it's bad. I mean, everybody's davening. There's no TVs over here. There's no chveis, you know, no newsstands with magazines with trash and all that. I love to read the rags and all that stuff. Okay, so he'd be suffering, but in the scope of things, like what kind of suffering really is this? It's a suffering in a good spiritual way. You know, he has to go to davening, Nebuch. He has to go to davening. He has to sit through a two-hour davening because the Levim over there are not going to work. Mm-hmm. So they have a long davening. It's mamas. Would you rather not? That's a rule in everything in life. If you do not vary that you're supposed to be suffering for, there's ways to not get around it, but bring the suffering onto yourself. Rabbi Yehuda says, learn more Torah. Torah is hard. It's not easy. So that'll be the suffering that will exchange the suffering. It's a much better suffering. So that's what he's saying. So therefore, if the fellow now is supposed to suffer, he's supposed to have real suffering. So going into exile, that is what replaces that suffering, protects him from that suffering. And then the final thing is when Kohen Gadol dies. So you always need that protection of the suffering. Okay? So that's a very good shot, he's saying. He gives another interesting thing, another interesting tsushtel. He says, now the guys from Rambam will appreciate this better. What if you're not sure if you did a sin? Let's say there were two pieces of meat in front of you. One was treif and one was kosher. And you got mixed up, whatever. And you're not sure which one you ate. What's the law?
Don't eat either.
No, you ate it already.
Oh, you ate
it already, and now you realize, you know, I thought it was, or let's say you didn't even know. Let's say you thought they were both kosher. You ate one, and then someone said, did you eat from the table? He says, yeah, what's the problem? I didn't tell you. One of them was treif. Okay, so I don't know what to do. So what's halacha, Shelly?
I can't remember.
Right?
I remember learning it.
He brings a korban. What korban? The asham tolui. He brings an asham, which is a sin offering, but it's a dependent sin offering. Which means we don't know what happened, but you know it's not so good. So you know, if we later find out that he actually sinned, then he brings a regular korban chatas. But till then, who knows? So at least this korban like covers him on that. So, but if later he finds out he actually sinned, he has to bring another korban. So now he says like this. He says so just like that case, the din is you bring an asham toli, and why? Because Asham Tali, what if he doesn't bring an Asham Tali? Then, you know, you weren't careful, you're not sure. Now you should be, Hashem should send you suffering. So bringing the Asham Tali makes it you don't have to suffer. You don't have to suffer because you already brought a korban. You're bad about it. In case I sinned, then it should work. And in case I didn't sin, it's a gift to you. So that replaces the suffering until you know you actually did sin. And then if you find out you did sin, then you bring the korban chatas.
So
right?
True.
But what if you know before, but, one second, what if you weren't sure you did the sin, and you're about to bring this asham toli, and then right before you're going to bring it, you find out you really did sin. Do you have to bring the asham toli?
No.
Because the facts cleared it up for you. Experiencing. See, hear what's going on over here. When you're not sure you sinned or not, you bring an Asham Toli. Why? It protects you from suffering. Then if a year later you found out you sinned, okay, now you bring a Korban Chatas. And now you're for sure clear. Okay? And you were protected from suffering, because maybe Taki, you did sin. What if you did sin? You did. But you didn't know. So you didn't bring a Korban Chatas. So you didn't clean the slate. So you deserve to get some kind of punishment from Hashem. So the Korban Asham Toli is kind of saying, even though I may have really sinned, this will take care, I shouldn't suffer. But when you find out later you did sin, you bring a Korban Chatas. So now what happens if he says, okay, I'm not sure if I sinned, I guess I'm going to have to bring an Asham Toli. But before he brings it, he finds out that he sins. So then what? Go bring the Korban Chatas. There's no suffering anymore because you're bringing the Korban Chatas. So therefore, he doesn't have to do it. Therefore, Abai says that's the same law, but Golas. If the Kohen Gadol dies before he goes, before he's exiled, he already has the complete kapara. And he doesn't need that the suffering that Golas provides him.
That's
how he comes out with that. That's a very nice shot. You see how he's explaining it now? So the guy, you know, how guilty were you? Oh, I don't know. Only God will know how guilty, when an inadvertent killing, how guilty you really are. You really should have to suffer for it. But that when the Kohen Gadol dies, well, that's it. That's finished. You don't have to worry anymore.
He was not so negligent about the situation.
something to that effect, or the doubt has been removed, whatever. So, okay, anyway, so that's a fascinating... So now you see there's a balance between the two, that the Kohen Gadol's death is like finishes it off, but you would have to go through a certain degree of suffering. And again, I would still suggest that when you find out you're going to exile, you certainly have felt a certain degree of suffering, but you don't have to start off anymore, because the Kohen Gadol does make it finished. And once it's finished.
So they...
Sorry, go ahead.
So the example that you gave, that you know, you're not sure if you have eaten reif or not.
Right.
So why not take directly a Qurban Khatas? So even if you have done it,
you can't.
Done extra,
you
right?
can't, because if you don't sin, you're not allowed to bring Qurban Khatas.
Okay.
It's bringing okay. an unnecessary Qurban. You
but
can't
it's
want
it. It cannot be like a gift.
No, then a gift is a gift.
That's what
but you can't. But atonement is only if you did a sin.
Okay.
You cannot say, I'm going to give a voluntary gift. I'm going to give a sin offering.
No.
You didn't sin. Then it's a violation. It's a sin to bring a sin offering if you didn't sin.
Okay.
So therefore you have to say, it's a dependent.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah.
How about the length of the exile? Doesn't this figure into how much kapora you do need or you don't need?
Well, that's Hashem's judgment.
So we don't know that.
Only that's
why. Is that day or the guy who did
That's why Hashem knows and Hashem arranges that to happen, like I said yesterday. Hashem knows now when the Kohen Gadol is going to die, 17 years from now. Nobody else does. Now, he knows there's a person leading a negligent life. He's, I got to teach this guy a lesson, you know. And then, he, you know, sooner or later, he's going to kill somebody. I got somebody else who's supposed to die anyway, so I'll have him kill him precisely 16 years, 17 days, and 4 hours before the Kohen Gadol is going to die, because that's exactly how much atonement he needs. That's how much suffering he needs. Okay, so that explains the first part of the Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
Now we go, that was the easy part. Now it's a little harder now. Second part of the Mishnah. Im ad shelo nigmar dino. What if we have like this. The Kohen Gadol, the guy kills, Kohen Gadol dies. Before the judgment was finished on him, a second Kohen Gadol was appointed. And now the guy goes into exile. Right, and he stays until the second Kohen Gadol dies.
Yeah, that is understood.
Okay, so it depends on the second Kohen Gadol. So Maamar Gemara is going to ask. So first of all, we got to understand what's the source for this. Now we got to understand the logic for that. So the first question is Minani Mili. Okay, where's the scriptural source that even a Kohen Gadol appointed after the killing, but before the sentencing, will enable him to go free
right.
when he dies? So Amar Rav Kahana, the Amar Kra, because the pasuk says. The Yoshav Ba, the killer stays there. Ad Mois Hakohen Gadol Asher Moshach Oisei B'Shemen HaKodesh, and he, the inadvertent killer, will dwell in Sivrich until the death of Kohen Gadol, who was appointed with the holy oil. Now look what it says. Whom he? Look at the word here. Whom he anointed with the holy oil. The killer stays in the city of refuge until the Kohen Gadol that he. Anointed with oil. The obvious question is, v'chihu Moshka, was the killer who anointed the Kohen Gadol? Of course not. What does it mean, whom he anointed? Meaning to say, Elazesh shenimshach biyama, but rather one who was anointed in the killer's days, meaning after he became a killer.
Oh.
After he became a killer, and before the sentence was brought down. So although the anointment came after the killing, his death frees the killer from exile. But we're going to see it only works if he was anointed before it was pronounced.
Right.
The verse under discussion speaks of the killer. Accordingly, whom he anointed refers to an anointment performed when he was already a killer. This is what the Gemara means when it says, in his days, but not in the days of the one who was killed. In other words, after the death of the victim. So that's what it means, in his days. So that's the biblical source. But now we have the hashkafic problem. Why does it depend on the Kohen Gadol's death? What did we say? Kohen Gadol should have prayed for him.
Yeah.
So what should the Kohen Gadol have prayed in a normal case? He should pray there should be peace in the world and that people shouldn't die and people shouldn't kill unintentionally. Oh, somebody killed him. I guess you didn't pray good enough. This second Kohen Gadol, when did he become the Kohen Gadol?
After he killed him.
After he killed, before the ruling was concluded. So Gemara says, So, my Havel, what do you want from the Kohen Gadol? Why should it be dependent on his death? Right? The reason Kohen Gadol is made the means of the killer's freedom and thus the object of their curses is to punish him for having failed to prevent the killings. Right? But the new Kohen cannot be held accountable for this killing since he had not yet been appointed when it occurred. Why then should he be punished by having the killer's freedom made contingent upon his death? Right? He wasn't appointed till he got killed. So why should the Kohen Gadol get punished, as it were? Part of it is a punishment to the Kohen Gadol, because these guys are davening for him to die, right?
The Kohen Gadol dies for that purpose, to atone the guy. There might be other reason why.
But that's why these guys leaving depends on his death. Depends on his death. We already said, because he should have prayed, right? So that there is a certain culpability on the Kohen Gadol. So, but this Kohen Gadol, what do you want from him? He got appointed, the guy already killed him. What could he have done to have saved this guy from killing somebody? He can't, the guy's already dead.
Yeah. Is there like a hierarchy of who's going to be the next Kohen Gadol if this guy dies? Like that way they know, like, oh, I'm next in line, so I should also pray.
But he's not the Kohen Gadol. He doesn't get to go to the holiest of holies on Yom Kippur and pray for these things. It's not his place.
Maybe he's going to quote inherit the baggage from the previous Kohen Gadol.
That doesn't seem fair. I understand
the office of the Kohen Gadol,
but it's not the office. It's the Kohen Gadol, because it's not that the office sinned or didn't do its best. The Kohen Gadol didn't do his best.
Maybe that should remind him when he's doing his davening.
Yeah, but remember, people are praying for him to die.
Yeah.
What are you praying for this guy to die? He didn't do anything. What do you want from him? It's like you don't like Republicans. Why? Well, the old Republicans were really bad. But this new Republican, what did he ever do to you? You know, it's like, you know, it's funny. You know, Democrats are saying, you know, this the health plan is terrible that America's under. Yeah, you shaked him. It was your Obama who did it. You know, and don't vote for Republicans because the health plan is terrible. We're going to fix it. Medicare for all. Shaked him. Obama made that stupid plan whenever Republicans said don't. So now get rid of the Republicans so we can fix up the terrible Democrat. That's just crazy. But in this world, that's what people are macabre. Yeah. I'm saying, same with the Kohen Gadol. The second, what do you want for the second Kohen Gadol? It had nothing to do with the first one.
Yeah.
Mark has a very interesting answer, which is also going to require some explanation. But he was Kohen Gadol when there was a guy on trial.
Yeah. Yes.
So, Levakesh Rachamim, he should have asked for mercy. Sheigmar Dino Lischus, that his judgment should have been rendered to exonerate him.
He should have prayed.
I know what the problem is. He should have prayed that listen, you're the Kohen Gadol. You got to know everything that's going on over here. And you should pray that this guy who's on trial should be exonerated. And Velobikesh. And he did not pray. Must have not prayed, because had he prayed, he would have been exonerated. Of course, we're going to now. Oh, man, such a small amount for this question. If, however, he's anointed after the sentence is final, what did we say if he's anointed after, right? The guy doesn't go home, period, on his death. Now there's no blame, because his death does not free the killer at all. So that takes out your idea the office of the Kohen should make a difference. So if it did, then even if he was appointed afterwards, so that is out. Some ask, how can the Kohen Gadol pray for the killer's sentence to be finalized in his favor? Doing so is tantamount, if the accused is guilty, to praying that the court should err in their judgment.
That's right.
For answers here, so I looked it up over here. Let me just find a place over here. Chavtes. Yeah. So he brings from the oracle in there. It means like this. He should have davened that Hashem should have forgiven the killer for his sin. And then he would be putter from the Golos. And then Hashem would have inclined the minds of the Dayanim to make him be judged favorably. In other words, he should have prayed that Hashem should forgive him.
Yeah.
He should have prayed that Hashem should forgive him, because he wasn't finalized on that. And he would praise it. Listen, at the end of the day, who's the one to forgive this guy?
Hashem.
It's Hashem. So he should have prayed to forgive that Hashem, you should forgive him. Right? And now you'll put it in the minds. Remember, even though a court adjudicates, but we've said many times, they are really just acting on behalf of God. And just like we explained, remember the laws of Edim Zomimim, right? What's the logic of Edim Zomimim? If after the false witnesses, the guy's killed, we don't kill the Edim Zomimim, what kind of logic is that? The answer is that's what Hashem wanted. And he made it that the judges didn't find out this information soon enough. And therefore the guy got killed. It was a corruption of judges. No, that's what Hashem wanted. If Hashem wants it, that's the way it's going to be. So it goes so far, that Hashem can make the judges, you know, sometimes something just pops in your mind, you know, an idea. You know, I think maybe he's not guilty. Right. Because to me, it looks like this and this and that. And then later on, maybe, you know, years later, I don't even know why I came up with that logic, but I guess, you know, it's what Hashem put in my mind. These are sincere people. It's not politicians here. If Hashem puts in your mind to go this way, so he could do that. But the main thing is that Hashem should forgive him. Hashem, please forgive the guy. Now, you see this happens all the time. Jewish people sit with the golden calf. Hashem, I'm going to wipe them out. Why did they not get wiped out? For one reason. Moshe prayed. Hashem says, please forgive him. What if Moshe would not have prayed?
Oh, then we would have been wiped off.
So what do you see? You see, when you do a sin, Hashem always has the option to forgive. Now, why will Hashem forgive? Because he sees there's Jews who care. Yeah. There's Jews who care. It's very complicated, God's justice system. You know, we can't look at it just as, okay, there's one guy, and Hashem just focus on that guy, and let me decide what that guy should have. As we've said many times, before Hashem makes any judgment on anybody, he has to say what's going to be the ripple effect on the entire
everybody
else. So let's say, for example, let's say this guy did an avera, and he deserves to die. He really does. But he's married to a wife who's a tzaddikus. He's got children, tzaddikus. This guy happens, though he's not deserves to die, but he gives a lot of tzedakah to a lot of institutions. If this guy dies, his institutions are going to fall. So now Hashem has to decide, okay, the guy deserves to die, but does the wife deserve to be a widow? Do the children deserve to be orphans? Does the yeshivas deserve to close? Hashem has to put the whole judgment in, and could be it'll tilt it in the other way. Oh, he got away. He didn't get away with nothing because he's doing so many other things that also is part of the judgment.
Right.
You know, guy. Now, if you're worthless, good for nothing, and you're terrible to your wife, and you don't give tzedakah, you don't do this, Hashem says, okay, I'm looking at this thing you got here. You deserve to die. Finish. On the other hand, we say, listen, although you deserve to die, but you didn't so many others, it's going to be Mishnah Pirkei Avos tomorrow, we're going to learn. It's that, two days, that the idea is that, you know what, these things are important when I have to judge. Why do I want him to die as an atonement? Yeah, but you know what, there's other atonements I could do. There's other things I can do. I could have him die, I could have him drown 25 years from now. I could have him die 25 years from now. But it's not fair that anything else should suffer. So here's the point. The Kohen Gadol, if he really is connected, Kohen Gadol is supposed to be the heart of the people. He's supposed to feel like your mom is my son. We're all my children. So how would you feel, you know, God decides to kill this guy, but what about the parents? The parents deserve to have a child die in their lifetime? No. The Kohen Gadol says, you know, if he dies, I'm going to be heartbroken. He says, okay, I'll forgive him. That's what it means. Because why should the Kohen Gadol suffer? Because that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, don't kill them. So what, just because Moshe Rabbeinu says don't kill them, don't kill them. Moshe says, but if you're going to kill them, it's going to affect me. I don't know how I can live without this. So that's part of, that's why Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, make sure you have a lot of people need you.
Yeah.
Make sure you're necessary. That if Hashem should have to judge you badly, but maybe he's not going to. So that's the idea over here, that the Kohen should have prayed, and then Hashem would put it into the mind of them to make it guilt. So it's not a corruption of justice. That's part of justice, is that people care about him. And then Hashem will work it that they won't punish him. Okay, we'll end it over here.
Question was, the Kohen